This is Chris Fabry Live coming from the studios of Moody Radio. I'm Nancy Turner, and I'm sitting in for Chris Fabry. He's taking a couple of days off here today, so we have a lot in store for you this week. Thanks for letting me be with you today. I really love it. Welcoming you to the radio backyard fence for a conversation about following Christ through all the things we go through every day. How do we see Christ? How do we know Him? How do we become part of Christ's family? We want you to learn about that today. Well, usually we take your phone calls. Today, we're not doing that. It's a pre-recorded hour. And I've got a guest in studio with me that we're going to talk to and learn more about what it's like to have Jesus find us when we didn't even know we were looking for Him. My guest is Marian Alvarado. She's from the Midwest, and she has a ministry that started through and birthed through tragedy. And we're going to hear about it. It's for homeless folks that struggle with that. And Marian, welcome, and we're glad you're here with us.
Thank you so much.
Timothy's Ministry. I know that got started because that's a name of your son, and we're going to learn more about that. But what is Timothy's Ministry?
Timothy's Ministry is a ministry of dignity and love and family for people struggling with homelessness.
And it was birthed out of something that happened in your life that I want to get right to this story because it's so beautiful and it's heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And there may be somebody, even Marian, listening today who is experiencing this that you experienced. Mm-hmm. And I know you can resonate with that, and maybe you'd like to speak to their heart as well. So start us back at the story, maybe about your son. You want to start there?
Yeah. My son, Tim, passed away, and the lights went out in my life. And just 6 weeks before that, I had been invited to a Bible study. And I had never opened a Bible before. And I know it was God who had found a way to draw me to know Him, because I surrendered myself, my life to Jesus in the hospital just 10 days before Tim died. And a year later, I found myself on my knees crying out to God after walking day by day an entire year, thinking every minute felt like a day, trying to walk through, although God continued to let me know I was not alone and kept showing Himself to me. But this particular day, a year after Tim died, I was on my knees on my kitchen floor, and I cried out to God, and I said, "Lord, help me. How am I supposed to get up tomorrow morning?" The next day would have been Tim's birthday. And I just said, "If only I could have just had the simple joy of baking Tim a birthday cake, what I would have given for that." And as I prayed those words, this thought came to my mind, maybe if I bake a cake for a homeless shelter, that will help me to get out of bed, because Tim reached out to the homeless. So one call down to a homeless shelter with the intention of just sending a cake down with someone. The person on the other end said, "We're desperate here. Where'd you get our number? Of course, we'll accept a birthday cake, and we'll accept clothes and toiletries and anything else you want to donate, because no one ever calls us." So that propelled me to the next step, which was I sent out an email to those ladies in my Bible study that had been in my life for a year now. And I told them that I was going to go down to that homeless shelter. And just by coincidence, which we know with God there is no coincidence, the next day, Tim's birthday, was the day the Bible study met. So when I arrived at the Bible study, there were piles and piles of clothing and toiletries and baked goods. So now I was driving down to the homeless shelter.
Hmm. Up to this point, did you think that you would ever be involved with homeless people?
No. In fact, my son Tim brought a homeless man home 3 months before he died.
And he had not been in the practice of doing that.
No. This was a random thing. He, you know, being a teenager, he brought a man home who was sitting like cross-legged in the corner of the family room. And really looking tattered and torn, similar to a picture of someone you would see on the cover of a magazine.
What was your reaction when he brought him in?
Yeah, I said to Tim, "You need to get him out of here. What are you doing?" you can't bring him here. Who is he? And he said, Mom, he's cool. His name is Jedediah. I thought maybe you could help him. And my thought at that time was, I thought that my son was exercising really poor judgment. So anyway, we helped this man find his way to a shelter. But my heart was not moved to help the homeless at that point. So, and it still was not moved when I was praying for God to help me to get up the day before Tim's birthday. It was just that picture, that memory that flashed through my mind as I was wishing I could bake Tim a cake, that I thought, well, maybe I could just send a cake down to a homeless shelter.
But you drove down there, you went down there. So what happened when you appeared at that place with that cake and all that stuff?
Right. So I stepped out of my van with the intention of turning around and driving home. But I was surprised when all of the people came out of the homeless shelter and I heard their voices saying, God bless you. Thank you. And I looked into their faces and I felt this love in my heart for the people I was looking at, as though I really love them. And I'd never had that experience before. I knew what love was for my own family, very close friends, but these are people I'd never met before. And I felt this love. And that love is what compelled me to want to go in and not drive away. It was like I couldn't drive away. So I went inside and we visited and we sat around and shared our stories and then we prayed. After the visit, in fact, prayer had been helping me so much over the past year because I had never prayed out loud in a group before that time. And so I suggested to the group of people I met, let's form a circle and hold hands and pray. And as we prayed, one man said, Lord, thank you for bringing Marion here today. And although you took her son, look at all the sons you gave her today. So that compelled me to go home and write an email to those ladies in my Bible study and share that story and share some other stories. And I said in that email, I'm going to go back in 2 more weeks. And every other week I kept going back. And I kept sending out emails and I kept sharing stories. And there were miraculous stories. Someone would send a size 13 shoe, I remember one time, and a man happened to come up to me and with these shoes with holes in them and said, you don't by any chance have any size 13 shoes. And they would be right. It was right on the top of the bag.
Only God, right?
Right.
Two of my favorite words in the Bible, but God. Okay, well, we're going to hear more about this story. We're going to hear more about how a person who had no idea what it even meant to be a follower of Jesus, had no idea what was in the Bible, how God showed up and revealed himself to Marion, my friend who is here in studio with us. I'm Nancy Turner, and we are right now in the midst of it, Chris Fabry Live, and you can contact us right now, chrisfabrylive.org. We've got lots more to cover. Oh, what a blessing. We're going to learn more about being home. chrisfabrylive.org. So glad you've tuned in today to Chris Fabry Live, and you can learn more about our guest if you go to our website, which is chrisfabrylive.org. You'll find a link right there for Timothy's ministry, and the person who started this ministry with the help of Jesus is right here in the studio with me, Marion Alvarado. Marion, I want to go back a little bit on our story. Let's backtrack a little. So this Bible study, you were a person that you didn't even pick up a Bible. You didn't open a Bible, yet you went to a Bible study. How did that come around?
Yeah, my entire life, I really never knew anyone that had a Bible or saw a Bible in someone's home. We didn't have a Bible in our home, although I went to church every Sunday up until I was in my 20s and then started drifting away. But yeah, so a neighbor of mine invited me to this Bible study, but she invited me about 3 times in that one particular year. So for me, it was similar to be invited to a Tupperware party where a neighbor invites and you don't want to keep avoiding her and saying no. So this one particular day, I said yes because I happened to be free. But I had no idea why women would get together in someone's living room and read a Bible. And I thought it might be because they just didn't have that much to do with their life.
So
that's what I thought.
So you go.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like? What happened?
Yeah, I was going to go. I actually when I walked in the door, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I told the host, I'm sorry. I can only stay 30 minutes because I had no intention of staying longer. And I never thought I'd return. But as I sat in that room, people were reading Philippians 4, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which I had never heard. And it was more than that. It was the way the women were talking about God as though they knew God. I had always talked among friends like myself who would say, well, let's hope there is a God. Let's hope there's a heaven, but no one will know until we get there. But these women seemed to really know God. And just in that, that gave me this hope because there were some really hard things going on in my life with a couple of my kids who had struggled with some health problems. And I always thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to really know for sure there was a God and you could access God? And this gave me hope in the way they talk. So I returned the second week. And then on the third week, my one child was diagnosed with a serious disease. And so I called the woman that led that Bible study right from the hospital and told her of the diagnosis because I knew she could pray. I didn't think I could pray, but I knew she could. And she instead invited me over to her house to pray later in that day, and I saw a miracle. The whole diagnosis was turned around, and she prayed in the name of Jesus, and I prayed along with her, and I prayed in the name of Jesus, and I started telling everyone I would meet, you know, when you pray, just pray in the name of Jesus, because I saw a miracle. Yeah. But that fear that I felt that day in the hospital with my one child who had been diagnosed with a serious illness would pale to what was about to happen 3 weeks later.
Yeah. So an unsurvivable event. Yeah. That's what you've called it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would commiserate and have empathy for someone listening today who might have experienced or in the midst of experiencing this type of unsurvivable event.
Yeah. 3 weeks later, I found myself in the hospital and my son, Tim, who had been hit by a car and had gone in and out of hospitals, but this time was back in the hospital. I found myself falling on my knees in the hospital and saying out loud, Jesus, I need you to take over my life. I can't do this. And also, God, I'm putting Tim into your arms. And when I prayed that, what I meant to God was that I'm just putting Tim into his arms to make him better. But I also knew I couldn't do this. I just couldn't do it. And it was the first time I actually cried out to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something happened. Something happened in that moment, in that minute. I began to see God, like see evidence of God. It began with a minute later, the insurance that we thought we had lost, we found out they told us your insurance went through. And then each day I would pray. And that particular doctor, that particular medicine, something would happen. It would be exactly what I prayed for. And so, again, I was telling everybody, even in that hospital, just pray in the name of Jesus. And then on the 10th day, without warning, suddenly Tim passed away. And the lights went out in my life. And I never thought I could survive that, and I knew I'll never be happy again. I'll never feel joy. I'm going to have to fake it for the rest of my life. And I had three other children, of course, and who I love so much. And thank God I had those three children because it was for them that I thought, well, okay, I have to fake it. I have to fake it till I make it. And somehow that Bible study that was in my life, those ladies, they were the ones that came over to my house. And when they would walk in and they would pray, it was like my house would go from darkness to light. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying that. I hadn't even read in the Bible that Jesus was light. But I would say to them, why is there light? I feel like somebody turned up the light switch. And we would all love when they would come over because we would feel this comfort and like a lift from my pain. So although I didn't even go anywhere for about 3 months. I did get to that Bible study every Thursday, and when I would go there, I would feel this lift from my pain, and I would see God. I would open the Bible on my own, and as I'd cry out to God in the middle of the night because I couldn't breathe, I would just open it because I didn't know the New Testament from the Old Testament. I didn't know one book from another. But it was as though God would speak to me as I would read something on the page. And when I shared that one day with a lady from my Bible study, she said, yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16 said, all scripture is God-breathed. And I thought, I know it. It is God-breathed. And then fast forward months later, that's when I found myself on my knees asking God to help me to get up the day before Tim's birthday, wishing I could bake him a birthday cake, crying out to him. And then that thought came to me, maybe if I bake a cake for a homeless shelter, that will get me out of bed. And all these years later, there is this amazing ministry that has grown like outside of me. It's all been God. Everything's been provided, including love that we feel for one another. And God has taught me, even before reading it in the Bible, he taught me who the Holy Spirit was. I understood that thought. What was that thought? Was that my idea to bake for homeless shelter? Absolutely not. Homeless people were the furthest thing from my mind. And so when I went down to that homeless shelter that next day with my van filled with baked goods and toiletries and a birthday cake, thinking I was just going to drop this off and leave, I was so surprised to feel this love in my heart. And I told people, I said, I felt love. I'm not trying to brag and say, oh, I love people, because we hear this, you know, love your neighbor, love everyone. But when you really feel love for someone and you know that's not you, you know you're experiencing God. And that's when I began to ask, what happened to me a year ago? What happened to me when I was crying out to Jesus? I think a miracle happened to me. And then I finally heard, actually, I was listening to Moody Radio one day, and I heard a message on this miracle that happens, that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, that Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I knew it. I knew something
had, I knew it.
had changed in me because together with being so distraught in losing my son and barely being able to make it through each day and not having had a church, I was not listening to sermons, although I did start listening to Moody Radio and I was going to the Bible. But I needed to put together a lot of things. But what would happen is I would hear something or I'd read it in the Bible, but I already knew that. Like I already knew, compared to the way I grew up, I thought that I needed to go to other people to go to God. If I wanted to go to God, I would go through some other avenue, some other person. But for the first time, I realized, oh my gosh, I can go right to God in the name of Jesus. I don't have to ask other people to go to God for me. And then I found that in the Bible. You can only come to the Father through me. Jesus says that.
I think what's so remarkable about Marian's story is that she didn't know these type of things were available until she read the Bible. And she said, oh, well, I knew that because I've experienced it. I just didn't know it was in the Bible. But it was God working in your life.
Yeah. And he found me. He found me. I will tell everyone, I did not go out and try to find God. You heard the story that I didn't even want to go to that Bible study. I wasn't seeking after God. I just said yes so that my friend wouldn't invite me anymore, and I didn't want her to be upset with me. So that's how God drew me. And then he did an amazing miracle, and then he was right there when Tim passed away, because I knew for sure God was real when Tim died. So then I knew heaven was real. And then it wasn't until later, though, that I wondered, what about Tim? He was so young. What if he didn't know about Jesus?
Aha. This is another part of the story we're going to hear more about, so you definitely have to stay right here with us. We're going to take a break shortly, but not yet. But I want to save that little part of the story coming up. So you didn't think you could ever get up from the floor. You didn't think you could get up and go have life.
No.
And you go to the Bible study and all these things start to happen.
In fact, a friend of mine called me just probably 3 or 4 days before I was driving down to that homeless shelter and asked me how I was doing. And I was crying, saying, I'm not doing good. I'm not doing good. And the friend said, you know, maybe you should go volunteer and help people. That helps women who've lost children. They, you know, a lot of women who've lost children, I've heard of them, you know, volunteering at a hospital or something. And I said to that person, why don't you go volunteer? I have just lost my son. And told the person, you can't even imagine, for me to even get in the shower in the morning, for me to put dishes away and take care of my kids was just so hard. My heart was broken. It was as though someone had pulled my heart from my body, and part of me was missing. And it was just unsurvivable. So it was almost as though God let me have that conversation just so that I could always remember, I'm not a woman who thought, I'm going to go help people. I am going to volunteer. That is not what happened at all.
Well, what did happen?
What happened was that God led me into this ministry step by step, and this thought coming in my mind to bake for a homeless shelter, and instead of me sending down the cake with someone, I ended up driving down because the man on the other end of the homeless shelter said they were desperate. And then when I got into the parking lot, I felt this love, which I know came from God because that got me inside the homeless shelter. And then I kept going back every other week, and at the end of that first year, two people asked to visit my church from the homeless shelter, and I thought that would not be possible, and I really didn't have a church. But that same exact day, a pastor from a local church who had heard about this woman visiting a homeless shelter emailed me and said he was praying for me. And I asked him, what should I say? Two people asked to visit my church. And he said, what a privilege and a blessing. If they want to come, that's what we're here for. We'll send a bus and you can have a potluck lunch in our fellowship hall.
And that's when it all
started. That was February 2004. And I went down on a bus with somebody I didn't even know driving that bus. And 18 people were waiting there. And I knew them all. They were from that homeless shelter. Hmm. And then my phone started ringing after this amazing worship service and luncheon, where we all became a family. Everybody hugged and loved each other, and everybody knew each other. The East and the West knew each other because I was always writing emails. And at the end of the day, someone said, wow, you should do this again. And I thought, wow, this is this amazing overflowing feast, buffet feast. And it was like a great big party with 100 people in the room. I thought this would take a lot of work. And when I got home, I prayed. I said, God, if you want us to have another luncheon, you're going to have to make it happen. And an hour later, my phone rang, and it was a woman that said, I was at that luncheon today at that church, and is there any way my friends and family could host a luncheon like that? And so, I thought, brilliant, brilliant, God, host. I don't have to do the work. And then a few minutes later, my phone rang again. So every other Sunday since February 2004, the expression of, it took on a life of its own would be correct, except it took on a life of Jesus. I mean, it was totally the Holy Spirit and Jesus leading all of this. And the most amazing thing is that there's so much love. And then we opened up a place called Tim's House in Chicago a few years later, where we gathered then during the week. So we don't just meet on Sundays, and we see God. I see God. I see God provide miraculously, like our clothing room on Sundays, we don't have a storage area. So I don't know who's bringing in clothes, but somehow piles and piles of clothes come in and volunteers come who I don't even ask to come, but they come. And people walk in that clothing room and say, gosh, I wonder, do you think you'd have a size 11 shoe? And I have an interview, and they're the exact size clothes.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I see miracles all the time. So if anyone asked me, like, oh, how do you do this? Oh, my goodness, I couldn't be anywhere else. And I love the people.
Well, we're going to hear more of this story, especially I want you to share with all of us the story of your son and how you found out that, yeah, he did know the Lord. And that's a great God story as well. You know what Jesus said? He said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with all of them. Home, that's what we're talking about today. Jesus and the birth of Jesus and home. Stay with us. You have got more to hear on this miraculous story. It's Chris Fabry Live, and all the details about today's program, you can find them at chrisfabrylive.org. Don't you go away now. So glad you joined us today. And yeah, Christmas is here, and we're hearing a kind of Christmas story that is unique. I'm Nancy Turner in for Chris Fabry, who's taking a couple of days off. We're not taking phone calls today like we usually do because we're pre-taping this conversation. But you can find out a lot more if you go to our website, chrisfabrylive.org. And we've got Marian Alvarado in the studio with me. And Marian has a ministry called Timothy's Ministry, which is named after her son, Tim, who passed away. And Marian, when we were last talking in our last segment, I said, well, I'm going to bring this up and save this for a good portion of our time here. You wondered, because Tim died at a young age, you really weren't going to church. I don't even know if you were talking to him about God, Jesus, or the Bible at all. He brings a homeless guy in and before long, suddenly, tragically, he dies. And you started asking yourself a question about him.
Yeah, well, I needed to know that Tim was in heaven. And it's just like any parent whose child might travel over to another country. You need to know that your child got there safely. And I was talking to God about that. I was begging God one day. I said, you know, Lord, I need to know he got there. I don't know how you could ever let me know, because I know, other than sending me a postcard, how could I ever know that Tim made it there? But please find a way to let me know. And it was Tim's one-year anniversary, and we gathered in our home with family for a prayer gathering. And my doorbell rang, and it was a friend of Tim's who was back from Florida. He had been away at college, and I hadn't seen him since the funeral. But he had a Bible under his arm, and that was just a very rare, odd thing for me to see in the group of people I hung with, because none of us ever had Bibles in our homes, and the kids didn't have Bibles.
He shows up with a Bible
under
his arm.
He showed up with a Bible, and I said, first of all, oh my gosh, thank you for coming here. I'm like, what are you doing with a Bible? Because by then now, a year later, we had probably three or four Bibles in our house. We were having Bible studies in our house. And so I was kind of excited. What are you doing with a Bible? And he said, this is because of Tim. And I said, how is it because of Tim? And he said, 3 months before Tim died, I got together with him, and Tim told me that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. I said, oh my gosh, he did? And he said, yes. And then 3 months later, I got the call that Tim died, and I came up for the funeral. And all I kept thinking is, my friend was trying to give me some kind of a code. What did he mean by that, Lord and Savior? That was an expression none of us had ever used before. So he said he went back to his dorm, and he found someone that was a Christian on his floor, and he said, could you tell me what my friend might have meant? He said that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. And he said then that the friend opened the Bible and began to show him who Jesus was, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. But I knew that that was from God. See, I knew that God takes care of us. He takes care of our kids. He takes care of those he prays for. And that sometimes it's even outside of our watch. We don't know how he's working. So I knew that was just my little postcard from heaven, that Tim was in heaven. And and just was very grateful.
It's a beautiful story. And beautiful stories.
And that was the same exact time that he brought a homeless man home, too.
Yeah.
Jedediah, which was...
Yeah. Jedediah, another... What does that name mean?
Jedediah, I found out later, means friend of God. Mm-hmm. And it was because of that picture that I even thought to bake for a homeless shelter.
It is amazing. How could this 15 all
years
fall
ago.
Together?
Yeah.
15 years
yeah.
has it been. Mm-hmm. So you've got these two places, Timothy's Ministry, which meets, I think you said, once a month or something like that, where you meet
our
for
Sunday luncheons
Sunday
are
luncheon.
Every other Sunday.
Every other
and
Sunday.
It includes a Bible study, includes clothing room, and just a huge family gathering party. And then we have Tim's House in Chicago that we're open twice a week. And it's an all-day dinner, lunch, breakfast.
And all of it's always provided somehow. It's just, that in itself is miraculous. But when these people come in the door, and you've known some of them for a long time, what have you seen happen in their lives as they've changed and become acquainted with Jesus, I hope?
Yeah, well, the first thing that I see, and everyone agrees because we are always talking about this around the table at Tim's house, and that is this love that people feel in this place. And there's love for one another. And there was one guy who, when he first came in, he was actually kind of angry. And he shared later with me that he never, he didn't have any friends. He was isolated from his family. He was living outside. And he started hearing about God, and as we prayed together, somehow he came to that point of surrendering his life to Jesus, and he just is such a kind and good person and is not angry at all, and he himself has admitted that. And there was this other person that he tells the story. He just reminded me of the story the other day. That he was sleeping on the L, and he had been drinking. He was homeless. He was living outside, and often people seek shelter by just riding the L all night long. And as he admitted, he was passed out. And when he woke up, there was a card, a Timothy's Ministry card that we give to all the people that come to us. It's just a reminder card of our next luncheon and our address and everything. And there was this card that had been tucked under his arm, and he thought, what is this? And he read it, and it talked about this luncheon, this bus pickup that we do in Chicago to bring people out on Sundays. And so he walked over there, and he reminded me the other day that the bus was full, but I was on the bus, and he said, you ended up letting me on. And so we squeezed one more person on the bus, and he came out, and he said he never met such nice people. And those words, nice people, what he's saying is that he is experiencing Jesus in people, because you can't fake the niceness. It has to be authentic, and people really, really receive that when there is love in the place. And he felt this dignity. He didn't feel homeless that day. He said it was amazing food, and he got everything he needed in the clothing room. He ended up having an interview planned for the following Tuesday, and he said, I couldn't believe it. The exact size pants, a nice shirt, a suit coat, everything was in that clothing room that was my size. And then he said, I went into the Bible study, and at the end of the Bible study, he asked somebody, how do I have what you have? I don't have that. And so we prayed with him, and he surrendered his life to Jesus, and he shares the story today that he's been sober since then. And now he has a family. Now he has housing. He said, everything started going good for me. For some people, they continue to struggle in poverty. They continue to struggle even with homelessness. But we don't have any rules at Timothy's Ministry where people, once they reach a goal, now you're moved out and you can't come here anymore. We all just stay together as a family. It's a place for people to continue to come and receive the love that comes from God. And what I found at even Tim's house is people who are homeless will help the another person around the table. I'll often connect people. I'll say, you know, this person needs to stand in line for 4 hours for an application for housing. Who will go with him? And someone else who's homeless will say, I'll go with him. And that makes all the difference. And people then experience the dignity of being able to give. But it's a home there.
It's a home.
It's our family. Yeah.
Do you ever have people say to you, I love what you do, but I could never do what you do. I could never be that nice or that giving or that accommodating. I couldn't, you know, see myself helping a homeless person.
Yeah, I do. I send out newsletters or emails, as I call them, ever since, you know, for the past 15 years, because I share miracles and all the stories, and my list has grown. And so often I'll run into someone who will say, oh, I read your emails, and people say, I feel kind of guilty because I haven't done anything to help the homeless. And I always tell them, you know, do not feel guilty, because God calls each of us to what he has designed for us to do. So if all of us were at a homeless shelter, who would be helping the elderly person next door? Who would be helping the children? Who would be taking care of your family? And the list goes on.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, I just feel like the most important thing is just to pray and just abide in him. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to Jesus, not in a legalistic way, from your heart. Really talk to him about everything. God, you know, I need you. I need you. And before you know it, I mean, he is and maybe already has led you into something.
That is, yeah. It's just exactly the right thing he has for you. Well, we're going to wrap this up as we tell you about how does Christmas fit into this whole picture, because it is Christmas week. So we want you to stay tuned right here and don't go away. I'm Nancy Turner. So delighted you, my friend, have tuned in to Chris Fabry Live, and we are sharing a story over the backyard fence filled with miracles and hope. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. Find us at chrisfabrylive.org. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our radio home and over the backyard fence. I really did know about backyard fences, you know, just by the way. I'm just going to tell you, my grandma had a backyard fence, and it had hollyhocks and snapdragons, and she really would talk over the backyard fence with her neighbor, so I've always resonated with that. I'm Nancy Turner in for Chris Fabry. He's off today for a little bit of Christmas, and oh boy, you know, I want to go to Christmas now. Marian Alvarado, Timothy's ministry, Marian, who did not know Jesus, he found her. And it's just an amazing story we've been hearing. But now I would like to go to some Christmas, Marian, my sister, my friend. And you have a story about a Christmas gift that was so wanted by some little children.
Yes.
And I'd love for you to share that with us.
Yeah. So in our ministry, just one part of it is that we do bring a bus on Sundays to a particular corner, and we transport people to our luncheon and clothing room and so forth. And I often ride on that bus, and a young woman, young mother with two children who had been staying at a shelter, got on the bus, and it was their first time, and they were two twin 9-year-old boys. And so I sat with them, and I asked the woman, you know, her story, and I welcomed her, and I said, you know, when we get out to the luncheon, we also have a clothing room, so I pray that you get what you need. And the one little boy heard me, and he said, oh, toys, yay, toys. And we often do not have children, so often toys are not ever donated to our clothing room. And the other little boy then started jumping up and down, yay, toys. And now we're on a bus on our way. And the mother leaned into me and whispered and said, while we were waiting for you for the bus, we were standing out in front of a McDonald's, and my little boys were begging me to please get them a Happy Meal because they wanted the Transformer toys that are inside. So I said, all we can do is pray. So we got to our location for Timothy's ministry. We stepped off the bus. I went ahead of them, and my friend Caroline was standing there in the snow just before Christmas, and she was holding a casserole, and I thought, and said to her, Carolyn, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? How'd you come out in the snow? Because she lives kind of far away. And she said, oh, I was just thinking of you this morning, and I wanted to bring this casserole. And then she reached into her purse and she pulled out this big drawstring bag and said, I don't know if you could use these, but these are toys. And I said, toys? Oh my gosh, Carolyn, are these toys for boys or girls? And she said, oh, they're for boys. And she said it almost apologizing to me, knowing that we usually don't have children. I said, oh, Carolyn, there's two little boys on our bus. And within a minute, the two walked up to us and I introduced them and we handed them the drawstring bag. And they opened up the bag and they started jumping up and down, screaming and shouting because inside the bag were 15 Transformer toys. And no one knew about that request of those kids' hearts. No one knew.
Except God.
I didn't call. I didn't tell it. Just God, just the Holy Spirit. And again, how we see the Holy Spirit prompting Caroline, like what made her grab those toys, as she talked later about that too. What made me grab the toys? She was on the way out the door to bring me a casserole for the luncheon and just saw the bag of toys and thought, I'll just bring them. And that was an unusual thing to do. So that
totally
was just,
unusual. Because
yeah, that's how God provides for us and loves us so much.
When you think of your ministry and your life and Jesus, all that you've seen, all that you've experienced, the highs and the lows and the tragedy mm-hmm. and the joy and the light and the dark, mm-hmm. all of this, take me to Christmas with Marian. Take me to Christmas with what you see now. Because you can remember the before and the after of what it was like without Jesus and what it is now. What should we be seeing about Christmas now?
Yeah, that Christmas is a picture of Jesus who came to be born in a manger. And as we know, a manger is not a pretty place. And there's a reason why God sent his son into a manger as a poor person, as a homeless person, as someone who suffered, because he wants us to know that he experienced everything we experienced and that the ground is level among us. And to see God's heart, you know, that I see at Tim's house and Timothy's ministry among people who struggle with homelessness, it's just so evident that people who don't have that much in the world really see God when they open their eyes and call out on his name. And so that's how I see Christmas.
And I love that you're using the word see. Mm-hmm. And this is something I'd like to all of us remember this Christmas, is to see the gift that is here. And you see it all the time, Marian. You always are saying to me, well, that was God. Mm-hmm. That was God. How can we learn to see, Marian?
Yeah, I think I know the most important thing, that the only thing we need to do is just to abide in him and staying connected to Jesus, talking to him, and not just going through the rituals, but really talking to him. And if we haven't yet really surrendered our life to Jesus, because up until the time I did that in that hospital, I didn't even know that was possible. I somehow missed the memo on that in life. I didn't know. I thought no one could know for sure that God is real, other than in your head and what you've been taught. But when we surrender our life to Jesus, when we say to Jesus, I need you to take over my life, to be my Lord and Savior, and you say that with your heart, just you and him, a miracle happens. A miracle that began on that day in Bethlehem, that happens in us. It'll happen in anyone listening, where Jesus actually lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And my life has been so changed, and it's so amazing because I know I can access God. And the word Emmanuel is so meaningful to me, because that is what I've experienced since I surrendered my life to Jesus, that God is with me. He's with me. My life might be hard, but he is with me. He is with us.
and he always will be.
Yeah.
You know, he came to earth, and here we are, this rich place he was. He came to be a servant, to be poor, to be with us, to show us love. Like I like to think, love moved into our neighborhood when Jesus was born and showed us the way to have home. And there is home, and there is hope for you today and for all of us today because of Christmas. Thank you, Marian, for being with us.
Thank you.
Today we're going to invite everyone to pray, love, seek God with all of your heart, and give what you have of your heart. Give your smile and give your hope. And reach out to those around you with as much love as you can. Marian, thanks for being our guest today. You're going to find out a lot more about Marian if you go to our website, because we have a link right there. And if you need more information, everything's there at chrisfabrylive.org. Join us tomorrow at the same time. It is Bill Davis hosting the program. It's a Christmas edition of Faith on Record, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. We just want to say Merry Christmas to all of you, and may God richly bless your heart, your loved ones. And I know we'll send a prayer out to Chris Fabry right now that he's having a really good time off today and this week. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. I'm Nancy Turner. So glad to have this opportunity. From all of us at Chris Fabry Live, we thank you for listening. It's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries. Find out more at chrisfabrylive.org.